everyone, and welcome to FAM for All Moms. My name is Shahrzad Kiadeh, and to my right is Susan Yara. How are you today, Susan
I'm good.
Yara?
You know, it took me this long to realize that you say to my right, but they can't see us.
Well, you just have to imagine that.
We're so used to being on camera that we speak like we're on camera.
Miss being on camera with you, darling.
I know.
We shot so many things together. It's weird to sit and like reflect.
I know.
Which I've done so much of lately is just sit and think like, wow, Susan and I put our asses on the internet together.
We have done that.
So Anita, we should explain how we know her, is our agent's mama.
Yep.
Which is so exciting. And I've had the privilege of meeting her in person quite a few times, and we've chatted on the phone a couple times too. And I'm so excited that you're here. You're going to offer a different perspective than anybody that we've had on the show so far, which I think is really exciting. And you're a grandma. You've raised one of my favorite humans, Alex. So I'm just excited to chat about what you do and just what you're up to and how you got to where you are.
I mean, there's so many different things, but I think that what for our conversation today, we're talking about our kids, right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I have a business called We Heave Ho. It's something that's my company. I help people move. I help people pack up, get out of their house. I help them unpack on the other end. I put everything away. I organize their houses. And I pretty much think that any mama knows how to do that, right? Because we pretty much do that every day of our lives since the second our kids are born. But I've had another part of my life where I have two kids besides Alex. I have a son who dealt with addiction a long time ago, actually 10, 11 years in recovery now. I stopped counting, thank God. I never thought I'd say that. But I've learned a lot about parenthood.
I know when we talked on the phone, you talked about being really like a no judgment parent.
A lot of the time when we have moms on, they have like a 1-year-old, whereas you have adult children. So let's give context that you have two grown children, Alex and your son. And you definitely, you know, have learned so much from that, from being.
And she's a grandma. Congrats.
I know
just what Friday, right?
One on Friday. Yes.
Yeah. So she's got a grandson and now a new granddaughter. So
yeah,
totally different perspective than the other moms that we've had. But yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about how you've raised, how you've been a sort of a no judgment mom, or what that looks like for you.
Right. You know what? And it's interesting that you bring that part up, because I've taken that into my business now. We Heave Ho, people letting me into their homes. Nobody wants to let you into, you know, I go on and just organize as well. People don't want to let you into their homes and look in their closets and in their basements and see all the stuff. And I have a very different method I have learned through the recovery world. Look, I ended up being a national recovery advocate because of what my son went through. I wrote a book with my son about recovery and addiction, and there's no bullshit. I have no reason to BS anybody when we're talking about things this serious and about being a parent and how to deal with this kind of thing, how it can get to that, how you get out of it. We wrote a book called SOBER, an acronym, son of a bitch, everything's real. And I think that there's many times as parents that we all go through that. You know, you guys have little ones, but, you know, even when they start getting into, you know, adolescence and their teenage years, things start happening and you start dealing with all kinds of different things with the kids. They come home one day and they've been bullied. I mean, all of a sudden this stuff just comes into your home where you don't think these things can happen. And I actually was just making some notes before I get on with you guys, because I know that, you know, I've listened to your podcast. I love them. You talk to a lot of people, but everyone seems to have little kids. And I think it's really interesting to try and give a little bit of guidance to people, because I still work with mothers all over the country that are just starting to go through this kind of thing. And, you know, the kids are in high school with what I dealt with. So my notes, as I'm thinking in, you know, relating to what you guys talk about, I basically, you know, you start off with, you know, FAM. Yes. Being a mother. I don't even think that you need to have given birth to be a mother. I think every woman has in her DNA, we want to take care of people, right? We all want to take care of people. That's what women do. And you know, we have our babies, we become parents, and they're little, and what are our biggest fears? You know, oh my God, I hope my toddler doesn't fall down. I hope they don't shove a Cheerio up their nose. I don't want them to hit their head. I don't want them to poke their eye out. And then they get a little bit older, and then our kids come home and they have problems from school, in middle school, getting into high school. What I've learned that's really important, when I speak around the country, the things I talk about are truth. It's very hard for some parents to hear this, but in the end, and I'm going to say this, and I'm not bragging, I'm really proud of it. I've never not gotten a standing ovation from rooms filled with hundreds to thousands of women, because I always speak the truth. And what I try and tell these moms are mostly, it's mostly women. As a parent, the things that I learned along the way that were really, really important, especially when you have sons, don't ever let your son feel like it's not okay to cry. You know, boys don't cry. I work with fathers with kids, you know, that have gone through this addiction process. And, you know, the fathers tell me, oh, you know, my son is great. He's, you know, he's got everything he wants. We're wealthy. He's got a beautiful car. He's got great grades. He's a tennis star. And, you know, I always look at them and I tell them, you know, do you ever tell your son, hey, let's talk. Talk to me, you know, about your feelings, about what you're feeling. A lot of men don't talk to their sons about that kind of thing. And the boys have every right. They cannot grow up thinking that it's not cool for a boy to cry. I also tell parents that I learned another important thing is that I always, I was a judgmental mother. Every time my kids came home and they got blamed for something, I always blamed their friends. Oh, that's not my son. It's your, you know, why are you hanging out with that one? That one's a problem. I always blamed everyone else. I couldn't believe that, you know, my kids could do something wrong. I also did not teach them to be held accountable, which I think is very important, even from a very young age, that you need to teach your children to be held accountable for bad behavior. And on the flip side, you need to teach them a really important thing with children, even starting young, when you're teaching a two-year-old how to share, you need to teach your children how to give. You need to teach your kids how to give, and they will grow up to be incredibly charitable human beings.
Okay, this message is for the parents who want to homeschool their kids, but maybe they're a little bit overwhelmed by the aspect of it. I know I am, but that means that Homeschool Magnet is for parents like you. Homeschool Magnet supports homeschooling families by providing students with instruction from world-class, credentialed teachers in a remote classroom with their peers. Parents choose the best teachers for each student based on values and teaching approach to ensure every child is receiving exactly the education they desire. This puts you, as a parent, in full control of your child's education without the daily responsibilities of lesson planning, pre-learning, teaching, tutoring, and grading, because who has time for that? Other online schools exist, yes, but Homeschool Magnet is unique. Every student has daily access to their teachers who know their learning needs and can help with instruction and tutoring. To learn more about Homeschool Magnet's student experience, go to homeschoolmagnet.com and join the growing waitlist.
I read an article actually saying that we've been so focused on making our children happy these days that our children are not growing up to be
Resilient and independent.
Well, no, they're not giving back.
Though
we've taught them to be good people and to know what's right and what's wrong and stuff, we're starting to focus so much on them being happy that they don't actually know how to then go out and help other people be happy.
Interesting.
Yeah. And you know what? That's a really good point, because a lot of people are very, very focused on, you know, I always try to say that, as I said, you know, protect your children. Don't enable them. I do believe that you really touched upon something super important. You cannot expect to always have your children be happy. You cannot take away from them the chance to experience pain. You can, you know, losing their grandmother. You cannot take away from your child being sad. You have to let them learn at a young age, because you know what? God forbid something ever happened to mom or dad. Your child is never going to make it in the real world, because that is life. Life is lots of different emotions, being angry, being sad, teaching them how to feel that and how to work through it. Grieving process is very young, especially for children, losing grandparents or losing a parent or losing a pet. You know, you can't run out and say, oh, here, you know, I bought you another guinea pig. Be happy. You know, it looks just like the other one. They can't grow up that way. It just doesn't work like that. It's not a good thing to be. We have got to be very responsible as parents. And again, I call myself on everything I ever did wrong. Everything I've learned that I know to be true now is what I'm sharing with you. If I had only known all of this when my kids were younger, I'm not saying that any of this stuff wouldn't have happened, because it didn't happen because of a bad reason. I just think that I would have parented differently. I constantly tried to protect my kids, but I was just over the top. I was a maniac parent. I learned also along the way that some things are okay. For instance, I always taught my son when he was a little kid, and he did grow up to be an incredibly respectful young man of woman. And I always tried to teach them about the bullying, about the nonsense, you know? And I remember one day, my son came running off the school bus. Oh God, he was in like second grade. And he's like, mom, big fight on the school ground today. And I'm like, what happened? He's like, Alex, you know, my daughter, she had a fight with this boy, and the phone's ringing. I answer at the same time. It's the teacher. You need to come to school. I get to school and there's another mom there with her son. You know, they're all like, I'm like, what happened? And she's like, well, your daughter beat up my son on the playground. She was in fourth. My son was in second. And your daughter beat my son up. And I looked at my daughter and I said, what happened? Why'd you beat this little boy up? And she said, I couldn't take it anymore, mom. He was pushing me. It's been going on for a long time. And she showed me her arm. And that morning, I guess he'd been pinching her. Her whole arm is black and blue. And I looked at the teacher and I looked at the mother and I said, well, I'm very happy that my daughter beat the crap out of your son. I mean, what are you here complaining to me about? You think she's supposed to take that abuse? These kids are in fourth grade, and that's not okay.
Yeah, wow. Go I know. Alex. Go Alex. I love that story. I'm going to go text her after this and be like, I hear you beat up a little boy for protecting yourself.
Good Alex. Job. Well, that's a good testament to you that she could stand up for herself and do whatever it took to get this kid to stop hurting her physically.
Yeah, are you guys that way with your kids? Are you overprotective? Are you overprotective with your children?
I'm trying not to be. I mean, I feel like the way I grew up, my dad, I knew, would like beat anybody up if they like, you know, messed with me or hurt me or something. And I remember he cussed out this huge group of French guys once who were saying something to me when we were in Paris. And my dad would never back down from anybody saying anything bad to us. So I always felt a little tough. And then my brother is the same. He was like a super tough guy who would definitely beat somebody up if they like even looked at me the wrong way. So I feel like in that sense, I was like protected because I had like two guys and a million Persian uncles that would always like protect me. But I also always felt like empowered to be like really tough and stand up for myself or fight back or get in a fight if I had to.
Yeah.
You know, but with my kids, I know, and this might be taboo, but I kind of want them to be the same way. Like, mommy's got your back. And if somebody's like really, really hurting you, absolutely, you fight back. Like, you don't just stand there and take it.
Yeah. I mean, I that's how I grew up. I grew up, I didn't have, you know, my dad definitely would have not backed down for me, but I was the oldest of all daughters. and went, you know, I got bullied in school all the time for just being different. And I remember I came home one day and my dad was like, you know what, if these girls are hurting you, punch them.
Yeah.
Like, fight back. Do not let them hit you or pull your hair. And I remember being like, well, my dad said that's cool, so I'm going to do it. And I started to protect myself. And it definitely made my life so much better to be like, I'm not going to take this bullying.
I want my kids to know to how to protect themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, just my firstborn, Idris, he was getting bullied at his old elementary school before we moved to the new neighborhood. And Michael and I taught him, you can hit back. If you are getting physically hurt, you absolutely can hit back. I have no problems with that.
Yeah.
And mommy's got your back.
Well, it starts with like telling, because I remember Idris being so respectful. Like he would come home and tell you.
He was too respectful almost. And he was getting.
But that's good. Like you taught him to be respectful first.
Right.
And then it started to get out of hand. And it's like, all right, that's enough.
Right. Exactly. Like, don't go be mean to anybody. That's not cool. But protect your body at all costs.
I look at my daughter now and I listen to her and I listen to her on the phone and I listen to her in business. And I'll tell you, you know, I pity the man that tries to treat her differently because she's a woman, because I've heard her. She's very smart. She's very respectful. But don't, you know, it's still going on. This is still going on. It's a lot better than it was when I was your age. But it's just it's still happening. And women have to fight. And you've got to learn at a young age. You got to fight for your rights.
Yeah. I have to say just real quick that from the day I met your daughter, Alex, my life has improved significantly. So good job. And it really has. I mean, it's gotten quite a bit better. So I'm really excited that I know her and you, obviously. So that's kudos to you as well for raising a fabulous daughter who's made my life so good.
Really hard. And I think that, you know, it was really nice that she was home recently because she left for California right when college was done. She knew she wanted to be in LA from when she was in school. And she'd been gone for a long time. And then she came back recently, you know, through all this COVID crap. And it was really interesting because as you get older, your dynamics are always changing with your children. You know, your son is closer to you, then he becomes a man and he's closer to dad. And, you know, the daughters love daddy and, you know, jealous of mommy. And then now my relationship with my daughter is spending so much time together and being together day in, day out. I saw how hard she works and I'm so proud of her. And she, on the flip side, saw how hard, you know, I'm 60 and I'm working my ass off and she saw it. And I think it was really nice for us to be together and have a whole new appreciation of each other as a woman and as best friends, not just a mother and a daughter. And I'm very, very fortunate and so grateful that we had that time and she's coming back again. And I can't wait. I mean, it was great. I'd leave in the morning to go to work and she'd have to work from home. And, you know, she was here. So she was 3 hours ahead on her LA calls. And I'd walk out in the morning and I'd leave her these little notes like, can you do my laundry and take something dinner and this and that? And it was great. And I'd come home at the end of the day and I wouldn't have to make believe I wasn't tired and sit up and watch, you know, Jeopardy with my husband, even though I wanted to go to bed, and I could just go to bed. And Alex was here and hanging out with her father. It was just really nice. These moments are so fleeting when your children are little. And everyone's like, oh, I can't wait. Oh, and it's your next birthday. And oh, you're going to middle school. And then before you know it, they're gone. And you think, God, I wish I had those moments back just to hold on to and not push for everything to move so quickly.
This episode of FAM is brought to you by OxiClean, which we love, right, Charzon? What do you think? What are you doing for Thanksgiving? Because I know OxiClean will definitely play a part in it.
Yes. Well, you know, I'm all over the place with Thanksgiving. We're actually going to go out of town, but I'm going to celebrate it early this year with my siblings. And, you know, I like to host stuff. I'm a little bit of a neat freak, which I've accepted. My family knows this about me, but I'm going to scrub my entire house floor to ceiling. I'm going to clean all the old linens with my OxiClean, obviously. And I'm going to clean a lot of the outside furniture. We bought white seats for our outside dining table. Mm-hmm. As you may have guessed, they have not stayed white. So OxiClean actually gets the stains out of outdoor furniture. A lot of people don't know that about OxiClean, but I'm here to tell you that it does.
It does.
So I'm going to, you know, maybe weather permitting, this is Los Angeles, so there could be like a sunny, perfect day. We'll have a little outdoor celebration. Pre-Thanksgiving.
I like that. I like that idea. Yeah. And you guys, you know what? If you're going to be using all of your old linens and everything for the holidays, or you just need to get any kind of stain out, you've got to try OxiClean Versatile Stain Remover for yourself. To work your magic with OxiClean, just go to OxiClean.com/try me and order a free sample. You guys, it's free. Why not try that? That's OxiClean.com/TRYME for a free stain fighting sample while supplies last. I look at my kids and I realize like how fast they're growing and stuff. And there's that part of me that's like excited about it to like see their growth and their development and stuff. And then the part of me that like wants them to stay small. And I always think about this, like, how do you handle it? Or does it just go so fast that you don't realize it until it's there? Like they're gone, like they're in college or whatever.
College happens really fast.
Oh, God. I already have a first grader, which seems weird because that's just now you're in like school. I want to talk about your work and how you got into it, like the sort of no judgment of cleaning, helping people clean out their homes and essentially their lives and getting sort of reorganized. How did you get into that? And what does that look like for you now?
I think I've kind of always done it all my life. I'm very OCD. I now realize why. People always liked inviting me to go stay with them because I can't sit still. And I'd always end up cleaning out a pantry or cleaning out a closet. And I never really thought about it as a business, but everybody's moving. People are always moving. And, you know, my friends' kids are heading off into their brand new apartments in New York City. So I'll help them. Then I have my demographic whose parents are moving into retirement homes. You know, or my own demographic that we're all downsizing. People are moving. Everyone's got too much crap. Everyone wants to just, you know, minimalize the contents of their home. And I'm pretty good at it. And I'm good at it because I really go in a different way. Again, back to the recovery work. I know how to listen to people. I know how to be calm. I know how to help people talk through things. My main focus and the part that I love about my job is the whole human connection. You know, if you think about it, the human connection is really hard to have right now. And I love going in and talking with people because even when strangers hire me, probably on my second or third day when I'm working side by side with someone, they start telling me their problems. I've always been that person, even from a young age, people tell me their problems, maybe because I am a good listener. I don't know, but I have no judgment. I was gone through enough in my own lifetime to know that no one can pass judgment on anyone, because no matter what people tell you, everybody is dealing with something. If they tell you they're not, they're full of shit. I mean, everybody is dealing with something. You can have the most beautiful home with your perfectly manicured lawn and your killer cars parked in the driveway, but whatever's going on behind that front door, no one knows. But people have stuff going on in their lives. And I've learned to give people permission to talk about it out loud. People are afraid to talk about things out loud because when you talk about it out loud, when you say it out loud, that makes it real. No matter what it is, but I give permission to people to talk without saying it. And then we start doing, it's almost like therapeutic. You know what it is. I mean, I can stand in a room and talk about, you know, what a judgmental mother I was in the past and what an enabler I was and codependency and all of that. And I'll look around the room and I'll say to all the women in the room, this is about the sisterhood. Everybody can talk about the sisterhood all they want. But when it comes down to something like addiction, and it can happen with anything else that's going on in the family, divorce, anything, the talking behind each other's backs, the not being there to support one another, there's no sisterhood there. And you're not allowed in. You're not allowed to even use those words. You have to band together. Take care of each other, support one another. So when I go into a house and I'm working with a woman and she's telling me her stuff, I am incredibly supportive mentally, emotionally, and physically, helping her get rid of all of this stuff. And then it always takes, I mean, listen, my job is fun. It's a lot of work. It's hard work, physical labor, but it's also a lot of fun. That's why, you know, I've got a YouTube channel. I film a lot of episodes because then the husbands get involved and the husbands see me and they're like, oh God, who the hell is this woman? What is she doing here? You know, I don't need an organizer. I don't need this, but literally halfway through the week, he starts stealing me from the wife and they start really getting into it. And then the husband and the whole wife are going back and forth and I become a mediator. It's crazy. It's it's dynamics are so intense in these homes. I'm working in one right now and it's three generations and there's so many people, all these different generations. They're all living together. The little guys, the grandparents, the parents, the dogs. It's chaos. And I love it. It's family. It's all about family. And I love being surrounded by it. And I am very lucky because I won't work for assholes. Excuse me.
Oh, yeah. We swear all the time. Yes, you can say assholes.
I have Tourette's, but I I'm trying to be good. I will not work for people who, you know, I work for some very, very high profile people in New York City. And I started with some of these jobs and they all have staff and the way they speak to their people, I leave. They don't talk to me like that because I won't take it, but I won't even be around it. So I'm very lucky in that sense. I love being in with crazy families and chaos and just try to tighten it all up and help them get rid of their stuff. And we do a shit ton of donating, my favorite part. You know, people don't know that all the stuff that you have that you don't want or don't need or can't fit anymore, there are so many people out there that need all of it. You don't throw it in a dumpster. You figure out where to take it. You donate it. I love donating to animal shelters, you know, your old towels, your old sheets, all of that kind of thing. I love driving around on the weekends and dropping stuff off and donating. It's a hard job. I mean, I'm sore every single day, but I feel really, really good in my heart. And I love it. It's good.
Awesome. That sounds so fun.
I know people probably have such an emotional attachment to their things,
their
right?
Stuff.
Like even me, I have my wedding dress still and I don't know Same. Why. And like every few years I think to myself, I got to get rid of this thing. Like, obviously I'm not going to wear it anymore. Maybe there's a bride who could use it, who could get it cleaned and then use it. Or maybe somebody could take the fabric and do something interesting with it. Like, there's such an emotional attachment to stuff and it's such a bummer.
And donate it. Listen, I have a daughter. And she's like, I'm never wearing that ugly dress, Mom. Give it away.
I don't have a daughter. So yeah, nobody is going to wear I'm not passing it down. It wasn't some like designer gown. It was,
you know, how many young girls out there are probably that, you know, that cannot afford to buy a wedding
exactly.
dress.
Yeah. Yeah. So I love that. I love the donating aspect of it, but I imagine there's such an emotional attachment to like people's things. If they go through a divorce, they don't want anything in their house that reminds them of their ex, or if their kids are off to where college or something, they don't want any more kids stuff around. But so that sounds like an interesting path.
Let's wrap with like, what are your tips for organizing? Like any like really quick tips? I know it's probably a big ordeal, but what are some quick tips?
quick tips are, if you haven't worn it in 3 years, give it to somebody who's going to wear it. That's such a tricky question because there's certain things that I want to say. I can't be like other, I mean, you know, there's a famous organizer out there who, you know, I love her style, but I don't like what she says. I don't like her motto, if it doesn't spark joy. I don't believe any of that. As I said, even with your children, I think that you have to hold on to things that might cause you pain. I mean, look, some of us have lost our moms, right? Are we going to give away certain things of theirs that that we just, it reminds us of them, makes us sad, makes us cry. I still have things of my mom's that I'll smell it because I keep it in something like airtight, but I'll open it every so often because I smell her.
Yeah.
And am I not going to keep that because it makes me sad? Mm-mm. You have to, you know, keep your home filled with emotional things. I'm talking about junk. Get rid of the junk and the clutter. You know, you just need to free space in your head by getting rid of clutter. I'm not even talking about hoarding. There are hoarders and there are keepers. It's a lot of stuff that people have that they don't need to keep, especially my generation. Everybody's got their 30 and 35-year-old kids, Beanie Babies and yearbook.
Oh my God, yeah.
Storage for all this shit. And I'm like, give me their numbers. I'm going to tell them, come and get it. If you don't want it, mommy's not paying $700 a month for a storage unit anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to, you know, don't be lugging around other people's things is what my biggest tip is.
Well, Anita, your house is beautiful, by the way. I'm so excited. We get like a little peek of it in the back.
Oh, yeah. And it's a little bit of a mess. But you know what? You know, I have a lot of pieces that belong to my parents and my grandparents. And, you know, we do a lot of staging and occupied decorating when we walk around in people's homes. It's funny because it's, you know, the younger generation, they don't want anything that's brown anymore. They don't want, you know, they don't want your parents' and grandparents' furniture. Another tip is if you like the piece, sand it down and paint it or find someone to do it and keep it. I surround myself with a lot of furniture that belonged to other generations from my family. I mean, that's their legacy. This is, I feel them. You remember sitting at their table at Christmas time with all your cousins when you're little. I mean, it's memories. You got to be able to feel and teach your children how to feel. It's really important.
Totally. Anita, where can people connect with you? I know you said you have a YouTube channel. Would you want to mention all your social media outlets?
It's just We Heave Ho. Instagram, We Heave Ho at We Heave Ho. I've got weheaveho.com with all my episodes. I love having people. I have a lot of people now writing in, doing, you know, their tips, doing articles for me. I love having guests come in and write for me. I love sharing other people's things. You know, whatever's helpful to other people, I love doing it. And especially helping other women. I'm honestly probably going, I'm in talks right now to actually start doing tutorials for We Heave Ho. There are a lot of women across the country who cannot find jobs, especially when they're my age, because you're basically dismissed at a certain age. And a lot of people have lost their jobs, can't find jobs. It's very expensive to start a new business, but I've had women reaching out that do follow me from a couple of different states. And I am going to start putting together those videos and letting people come on, do the tutorials and go out under my name, We Heave Ho, and do what I do.
Oh, and cool.
That, and in the process of designing a really cool product line as well. And, you know, lots of good, fun things. I'm going to have to find an agent. So if you know of one, let me know.
I might know of one. Well, Anita, we won't keep you. Thank you so much for chatting with us today. It was obviously a pleasure to catch up with you. And I hope I see you in real life soon.
I know. Come and visit.
I will, especially if Alex is there. Maybe I will. Hey, Alex, get Susan and I a gig in New York.
we'll all go. Exactly. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Fam for All Moms. We'll talk to you soon.